The Last Daughter, a true story of love, loss, and reconnection, written by Brenda Matthews and read by Ella Ferris. Gelaghem Bone Mission, Red Dirt Country, 1960. The mob of this place call it the Square. Inside a little tin shack with a dirt floor, there's a fire smouldering in the corner with an iron bar across it holding the billy teapot. Every morning, the windows are opened by pushing out a tin awning and propping it in place with a stick. There's a bed made from four tin drums supporting the base and a tick, a mattress, on top of that. In this little tin shack lives a girl just 15 years old. She was born in 1945, and she lives with her parents, Joyce and Fred Hammond, her five sisters, Marlene, Rebecca, Olga, Mary, and Judy, and her three brothers, Rock, Lloyd, and Mervyn. Brenda Hammond is her name, and one day she will be my mother. Her mother, Joyce, is a small, black, curly-haired woman, kind and gentle. She always takes people in and gives them a bed if they need one. Her father, Fred, is tall, handsome, and soft-hearted. He'd do anything for anyone. He's a good tap dancer, and he has worked most of his life in the bush, fencing or burning off brush to clear land. My mother's grandmother, Evelyn Grace Baxter, lives in a tin hut just across the dirt track, and every day my mother goes to visit her granny Evelyn and her auntie Greta. Auntie Greta has just had a baby, and she is staying with Granny Evelyn. This particular day is no different to any other day, or so my mother thinks. She can hear the birds chirping, the sound of insects, and people talking. Like any other day, she sets off across the dirt track to her granny's hut. She goes in to see her newborn cousin. Suddenly, Aborigines welfare officers burst in and scoop up the little baby in their arms, just as if he were their child. Auntie Greta and Granny are distraught, but there is nothing that they can do about it. The next day, like every day before it, when the children are out playing on the square, they watch for the welfare car coming through the mission gates. "We'd be playing," Mum told me later, "just being kids and enjoying our lives like any children. But when we'd spot the car sneaking up on us, there'd be black kids running around everywhere trying to hide. We'd signal to each other if we saw the welfare car coming, and only when the officers had gone would we come back out to play." Running and hiding from the welfare, my mother never thinks for a moment that what has just happened to her cousin will ever happen to her. But 13 years later, in 1973, when my mum has seven kids of her own, it does. And one of those children taken is me. My mother attended Gelaghem Bone School before leaving to work as a cleaner at the school and on a station. Gary Simon, a young man from the Biripi Worimi Nation down Taree, Forster, Karawa way, was staying at the mission with his sister Dawn and working with Mum's uncle Percy Baxter, burning off and fencing. One day, Gary and Percy went to visit Granny Evelyn, passing my mum's hut. Mum, now 19 years old, had no idea that something wonderful was about to happen. The two men stopped in to see her father, Fred, and have a yarn. As they left, Fred said to his daughter, "I think that young fella's hungry. Fix him a sandwich." So Mum made the sandwich and ran after Gary to give it to him. "It was love at first sight," Mum tells me. Gary was born in 1941. His parents were Jimmy Simon and Marie Russell. He had seven sisters, Melvy, Mavis, Kay, Dulcie, Dawn, Grace, and Margie, and four brothers, Stan, Noel, Jimmy, and Kenny.